Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Cartoon Introduction to Economics. Volume 2 Macroeconomics by Yoram Bauman and Grady Klein is a nonfiction economics book that explains macroeconomic ideas through cartoons, humor, and visual storytelling. Written as a follow-up to the first volume on microeconomics, it focuses on how whole economies function, rather than how individual markets or consumers behave. The book is designed to make a technically demanding subject more approachable for students, general readers, and educators who want a clear entry point into macroeconomics without losing core accuracy. Its coverage includes national income accounting, GDP, aggregate demand and supply, business cycles, unemployment, inflation, monetary and fiscal policy, trade, and the government's stabilizing role. The distinctive method is not just decorative. The illustrations are used to simplify abstract relationships and show how economic forces interact over time. As a result, the book works as both an introduction to the field and a companion text for readers who want intuitive understanding before moving to more formal study. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the book turns macroeconomic theory into an accessible visual system. The central achievement of the book is its ability to translate macroeconomic theory into a format that non-specialists can follow. Instead of relying on dense graphs and formal notation from the start, it uses cartoons to frame ideas such as output, prices, employment, and policy responses in a way that is easier to absorb. This matters because macroeconomics is often difficult for beginners not due to the ideas themselves, but because the subject requires thinking at the level of an entire economy, where cause and effect are indirect and frequently lagged. The visual format helps readers see relationships that might otherwise feel abstract, such as how spending decisions circulate through the economy or how changes in one sector can influence broader outcomes. The tone also reduces intimidation, which makes the book especially useful for first-time learners. At the same time, the authors do not abandon accuracy for entertainment. They use humor to clarify rather than replace explanation. That balance is the book's core pedagogical strategy and one of its main strengths. Secondly, national income, GDP, and the problem of measuring economic activity, a major theme in the book, is how economists measure the performance of an entire economy. Concepts like GDP and national income accounting are foundational because they provide a common language for discussing growth, recession, and policy. The book explains that these measures are not simply accounting trivia. They determine how economists judge whether an economy is expanding, stagnating, or contracting. By showing what GDP includes and what it leaves out, the book helps readers understand why macroeconomic statistics can be informative yet incomplete. This is important because public debate often treats headline numbers as definitive proof of success or failure, when in reality the measures capture only part of the picture. The book also connects measurement to practical interpretation if output rises but unemployment remains high, or if prices rise faster than income. The economy may look healthier in one dimension than in another. By focusing on measurement, the book teaches readers that macroeconomics begins with defining what counts as economic activity, and that those definitions shape every later policy discussion. Thirdly, business cycles, unemployment, and inflation as linked macroeconomic outcomes. Another major contribution of the book is its treatment of business cycles and the two problems most often associated with them, unemployment and inflation. Rather than presenting these as isolated issues, the book shows that they are often part of a broader cyclical process in which aggregate demand, production, and labor markets move together. Readers are introduced to the idea that recessions are not just temporary downturns in business sentiment, but periods in which overall spending falls, firms reduce output, and workers lose jobs. Inflation is then presented as another key macroeconomic outcome, especially when demand, money, or costs shift in ways that push prices upward. The book's discussion of the Phillips curve and related ideas helps readers see why policymakers often face trade-offs, at least in the short run, between stabilizing inflation and supporting employment. This is one of the book's most useful lessons because it prevents simplistic conclusions, such as assuming low unemployment can always be achieved without cost. The explanatory value lies in showing how macroeconomic instability emerges from interactions across the entire system, not from a single bad decision. Fourthly, monetary and fiscal policy as competing tools for stabilization. The book gives substantial attention to the policy tools governments and central banks use to manage macroeconomic instability. Monetary policy is presented through the role of interest rates, money supply, and central bank actions, while fiscal policy is shown through taxes and government spending. A key strength of the book is that it does not treat these policies as magic solutions. Instead, it explains that they work through channels that can be delayed, imperfect, and politically contested. Readers learn why stimulus can support demand during downturns, why tightening can help reduce inflation, and why policy effectiveness depends on timing and context. The book also introduces models such as ISLM and aggregate expenditure in a simplified form, helping readers understand the logic behind policy transmission without requiring advanced mathematical training. Just as important, it acknowledges the limitations of government intervention policy can stabilize the economy, but it cannot eliminate uncertainty or erase structural problems. This gives readers a more realistic view of macroeconomic management than either ideological poll typically offers. Lastly, Open Economy Effects, Trade, and the broader limits of domestic analysis, the book also widens the lens beyond domestic economics to include trade, international linkages, and the global context in which national economies operate. This is important because macroeconomic outcomes are not determined solely by local consumption, investment, and government action. Exchange, trade flows, imported goods, capital movement, and international shocks can all shape inflation, growth, and employment within a country. By including these topics, the book reminds readers that macroeconomics is increasingly an open system discipline rather than a closed national model. That broader perspective also helps explain why governments cannot fully control outcomes inside their borders. A domestic recession may be intensified by foreign demand shocks, while inflation may be affected by import prices or global supply disruptions. The book's treatment of these issues is useful because it ties macroeconomic theory to current public debates about globalization, growth, and climate-related economic stress. It also highlights a general limitation of models. Simplified frameworks are necessary for learning, but real economies are shaped by interacting forces that are harder to isolate. This gives the book intellectual value beyond its cartoon format. In conclusion, The Cartoon Introduction to Economics, Volume 2, Macroeconomics, is best suited for readers who want a readable, conceptually sound introduction to the behavior of whole economies. Students beginning macroeconomics will benefit from its clear explanations of GDP, inflation, unemployment, business cycles, and policy tools. Educators may also find it useful as a supplemental text because it presents difficult ideas in a form that can support classroom discussion and improve initial comprehension. General readers who follow economic news but want better context for headlines about recessions, interest rates, stimulus, and trade will also gain practical insight from it. What makes the book stand out among introductory economics texts is not just the cartoon style, but the way the style is used to reduce abstraction without discarding serious economic content. It is lighter than a standard textbook, yet more structured and analytically oriented than a purely popular account. For that reason, it works best as an accessible first pass at macroeconomic thinking, especially for readers who want clarity, intuition, and enough rigor to continue learning more advanced material afterward. If you would like to support Yoram Bauman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.